you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Motherfuckers, it's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattle Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, John Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny, he's a psycho, he's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Monday. And it's your other boy, the international superstar, Zach D'Amico, holding down the fort because Lewis is still traveling. I am joined by my favorite co-host, Chris from Brooklyn.
What's going on, Zach?
How you doing this morning, my friend?
Pretty good. Lewis come back from Key West, right?
Yes, Lewis came back in his flight. Lots of flight issues. One of our guests is running late as well, but that's okay because we have a guest who is brand new to the show. And let's make sure we promote the shit out of this. Has a new comedy special up on Amazon called Run With It, Mark Gregory.
Yo, what's going on?
Thank you very much for doing the show, Mark. Tell us about the special, man. Let's make sure people get eyes on it.
Yeah, very dope special, man. I recorded it at the Dayton Funny Bone, and it's getting some great reviews, man. I dedicated it to my late uncle, comedian, civil rights activist, Dick Gregory. And it's a dope project, man. The first 7 minutes of it is just pretty much like a little 7 minute documentary telling my story, how I started doing comedy and my lead up. And then it's about an hour and 20 worth of flame material.
Dude, that's absolutely awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everybody, please check it out. Amazon, Run With It, Mark Gregory.
Yeah.
Get some eyes on that fucking special. Fuck it. While we're doing plugs, let's knock them out. What else do you want? Do you have social media dates? Anything you want to promote, my friend?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think the special is the biggest thing, man. They can jump on social media. Follow me at Comic Mark Greg, ComicMarkGreg.
Fantastic. Mr. Faga?
At Chris from BKLYN, Twitter and Instagram. And then this Saturday, June 4th, I'll be with Justin Silver at Fairfield Comedy Club. And then me and you got something in August. I think it's like August 27th in Rochester.
Yeah, something like that. You guys know where to find me. At Zach is not funny. And yeah, just check out my other shows. Bye, guys, with Ian Fidance and Zach Miko's Midnight Spook Show. Fridays at midnight. And if you guys want to pull up Lewis's dates, just go to lewisofskanks.com. So Lewis is going to be in Texas this weekend on the 3rd, in Fort Worth, Texas on the 4th, in Dallas. He'll be at the Ontario Improv on June the 9th, and then the American Comedy Company in San Diego on the 10th and 11th. I know he's going to be doing the goddamn Comedy Jam that following day at the Comedy Store. Then Lewis and I are going to be at Soul Joel's June the 17th, the Emouse Theater in Emouse, Pennsylvania. That's a big one. June 24th, we booked another theater when we do not have the capacity of people to fill it. So please come out. Co-host Music Hall, June 25th. And Lewis will be in Kansas City, Missouri on July 14th and 16th. Don't forget July 4th weekend. He will be at the Creek in the Cave, starting off the Offend Everyone tour with our friend Aaron Berg. If you love the show, please feel free to like, comment, subscribe. But most importantly, go to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use that promo code RAP. Get yourself a 7-day free trial to not just this show, but all the other great shows available on the Gas Digital Network. But if your broker's a joke, that ain't no thing. Just leave a comment on YouTube, positive review, thumbs up. That always helps. And follow Lewis on Twitch as well. All right, there's a story out here that I'm very interested in. Shannon, I want you to tell us more about it. What's up with this personality test?
I knew you would like this one.
Wait, hold on. Everybody take out your phone real quick.
And pretend to do stuff.
Perfect. Like Shannon, read it to us.
Okay, so I'm going to actually show you the four different types. Okay. So I just want to see. I want to make sure no one's lying. So you can share the screen. So tell, you pick which one of these is your phone style, 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay, so I would say I'm a one. Chris, you look like a one as well.
One.
I think we're three ones going around the table, right?
I'm a one.
That's why I said take out your phone. I didn't want us to overthink it.
I think that's how men hold their phones.
Yeah.
I think I'm two.
Yeah, because you're a like girl. A six, Shannon. You cleaned up well.
Exactly. So sweet. Okay, so number one means choosing number one position means that you feel comfortable holding your phone with a single hand. You use your thumb finger to maneuver around your phone screen. This means you're a carefree, happy, and self-assured person. You never complain about anything in life. You have the ability to accept whatever life gives you. You have confidence in yourself, and this quality of yours helps you move ahead, grabbing any new chance in your path.
That's bullshit.
You know what, by the way, that means? It means you have a man hand and you can hold your fucking phone.
Yeah, wasn't there a whole thing when the iPhone made a bigger phone, a bunch of people were like, it's sexist against women because they can't use one hand on the phone?
Yeah, but that's like when they say that they keep offices too cold because the temperature's for guys in suits and not the whore secretary.
That's true. Well, you got to make those nipples pop, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's fucking man's world. Gregory, Mark, of course, signs off on all this.
A little bit of it. Yeah. Not the last one, but yeah.
You don't like a pop nipple?
Yeah, but you know, we're in the new age. You can't say that, man. Not mess with you yet.
Yeah. Shannon, what do the other ones mean?
Okay, so number two, which is one that I was saying, so you hold it in the back with one hand and then use your thumb. If you choose number two position, it means you are wise, intuitive, and pragmatic. You are empathetic, caring, and intelligent at decoding other people's character. This
Pause.
Is more of like a
this
woman's
is just
thing.
What shit ladies want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's also more of a women are more empathetic.
This is just for the woman who decided horoscopes are fucking stupid. So let's give you some other affirmations that are fucking horseshit. Is one of them you're retarded? Because if one of them is it, you're
if you
stupid,
try to eat the phone.
Is any of them negative? Are a single one of them negative?
Let's see. Number three, which nobody chose. It's you are fast at analyzing situations and coming up with suitable solutions to any challenge, whether big or small. As you do not oppose thing, it shows that survival of the fittest is your motto. Number four, which is what Natalie
survival
chose,
of the fittest, that's serious.
Means that people are attracted or enthralled by your vivid imagination and original ideas. If you choose to become a painter or an author, you will achieve a lot of success. You prefer isolation to re-energize yourself despite being an extroverted personality.
Good job. You've decided instead of being a painter to change the cameras on this podcast.
Yeah, I think that's just...
I mean, yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. That's where I was headed.
Yeah, I mean, do they have number five? You spend 74 hours a day on fucking TikTok because you're a moron? Like, what? Like that's... None of this is real.
Yeah.
I think that was just pretty much they picked ways guys and girls hold the phone and then told them things they want to hear.
Mine, I thought, was like how old people hold
them. One of them was definitely old people. Like this one.
I believe that's definitely.
I was like auntie.
This thing?
Yeah, number three is old people.
Number three is old people. Number four, you need glasses real bad. That's.
Yeah, four might just be for nearsighted people.
Four, you hold your phone this close to your face. That's what it is.
Four's. Yeah, three is like how. An old person who's never had a phone holds it, and four is like for when like your mom won't get reading glasses.
Who developed this?
Yeah, what is this from, Shan?
What is this horse shit? What website is this?
So just in my defense, this came up on just Google News. The name of the website is JagrinJosh.com.
Oh.
I don't know how this got into Google News.
Mm.
All right, Shannon, I want to see this Japanese man. So they say you are what you eat.
Is he an eel?
Okay, so this is a guy. He doesn't disclose really any information about himself, except that the secret part of his life he doesn't let any of his friends or family know about because he knows that they'll judge him. He spent $15,000 on a custom collie costume because it's always been his dream since he was a child to be an animal. And I have a couple of videos. Here's
one. He's a furry?
Yes.
But it's more realistic.
Holy shit.
Dude, that's
wild. Until you see the mobility.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like remember those like dog toys that you turn on in the bottom with the batteries and they would wobble?
Yeah.
Okay, it looks like a stuffed dog came to life.
Yeah, it does. It looks like bear claws too.
That is absolutely okay. So when you said dog costume, I think we were all assuming like a mascot costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
That is why. So those mascot costumes are a lot of money. I can't. $15,000 seems
kind of low.
Low for this. Yeah. This is like a lot of work.
It's like a special needs dog or something.
Oh yeah, if you just
where are the bottom of his legs?
If you put sad music over this, this would just be my dog's legs don't work.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, are his knees in like a cup that's holding a paw?
I don't know. Maybe he's, yeah, do you think he's like Dorf, where they put the paw on his knee and then his legs back up the other way?
Maybe.
Let's see him.
We don't ever see him without the costume on because he's hiding his,
Oh yeah, he doesn't want to get mistaken for every other Japanese guy. that is incredible. That really... Now, there's going to be a lot of real questions here. Does he eat dog food?
It looks fake right there, though.
Yes. That looks like a stuffed animal. Does he eat dog food?
That was not... I don't know either.
Does
way.
He lift his leg to pee?
That wasn't specified.
Did he remove a McRib so he could lick his own cock?
Does he shit on newspaper?
I'm going to play the other one second.
Yes, please.
Yeah, none of these things are specified. Here we go. Mm. It really only just talks about how excited he is that...
Then why is he not panting and why is his tail not wagging if he's so excited, Shannon?
that's a great question.
It looked like he just started walking today. Yeah, he looked like he just started walking today.
He does say that if he moves too quickly, that he doesn't look like a dog anymore. I'd like to know who's recording this, though.
Yeah.
Because in the other video, somebody was holding the camera.
Hmm.
I became a rough collie because I wanted to be an animal.
I became a rough collie because I wanted to be an animal.
Yo, this is hysterical. He's
not, for people listening,
rough.
He's got,
right.
He's got signs like a Bob Dylan music video.
Oh, man.
He's giving us belly.
The guy holding the camera is just the dude from Human Centipede and he's just jerking off the whole time.
Yeah, this is some weird stuff.
So this is what... there is a documentary, I believe it's called... We've talked about it before, Shannon. Fursonas?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's all about furries, which is what I thought. I mean, I guess this is a version of it, but I really thought it was going to be like a silly costume.
Oh, man, that costume doesn't have any nipples. It's so in at $15,000, no nipples?
$15,000, you need nipples.
Yeah.
It seems like all he's really learned is how to fall over.
Yeah.
He's learned to play dead. He hasn't gotten the other ones down yet. Shannon, can you look up Boomer the dog?
Yeah.
Have I shown you this guy, Chris?
No.
So this documentary called Fursonas, are you familiar at all what a furry is? Mm. A furry are people that dress up in animal costumes socially.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, and this is getting, I apologize if this is a harsh assembly. You know how when you meet a chick that does sex work? And you don't want to assume she was molested. And then they're like, yeah, of course I was. When you ask a furry, is it sexual? They'll be like, not for everybody. But for us, yeah. Oh, yeah, we fuck in the costume. Every single person they talk to in this documentary is like, you know, they think we're a bunch of perverts. And we're just having orgies in these costumes. But, you know, a lot of us are just nice, normal people that like to dress up like animals. Do you have sex in the costumes? Oh, yeah, we have orgies in the costumes. But not everybody. And they talk to this one guy in it, Boomer the dog, who the rest of the furry community does not like because he goes on talk shows and like kind of spills the beans on it.
Mm-hmm.
But his costume sucks.
Okay. Really?
So I found one clip from him on Dr. Phil. And then there's a separate. Oh, do you want to watch that one? Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
That's his. He made his costume out of newspaper and everyone else in the community buys like. Real mascot costumes?
Yeah, how you get action
this
in that costume?
This lady's pretty mad at him already.
He says that at 13, he realized he actually wanted to be a dog. He didn't want to have 13 dogs and dress them up with tutus on. He wanted to be a dog. Now at 48 years of age, he lives as much like a canine as he possibly can. You're going to find out how committed he is to living a dog's life when we come back.
God damn it. God damn it, Dr. Phil.
Oh, he's going to play the package.
Okay. So, by the way, I think this fella might be autistic.
That's a dude?
I also think this fella...
Looks like a real dog brain, I'll tell you that.
So, I think they wanted a transition, and they went, woman, not enough for me. I'm a fucking dog. Watch this fucking lunatic.
I bark like a regular dog. And I hold my paws up. And I try to be as real as possible as a stand-up dog character.
Stand-up dog character.
Well, my next guest, Gary, says he's 50% dog and 50% human. He eats dog food and carries a dog toy with him everywhere he goes. He's 48.
Dr. Phil is a judgmental prick, and I love him.
Yeah, Dr. Phil tried to slide that little sting in there, like beep.
Because he already said he was 48.
Yeah, he's 48. Yeah, that was the last one. Like, by the way, he's 48.
Dog won't hunt. Just kidding. Take a look.
I had a vivid imagination as a young boy. I was really a fanatic for every kind of dog story that there was. When I was 14, I watched a show on TV called Here's Boomer. I thought Boomer was a more independent dog, and he really reflected my views as a more independent person.
Okay,
so now
Boomer.
I'm Boomer the dog. I don't use words, but I do bark like a regular dog. And I hold my paws up, and I try to be as real as possible as a stand-up dog character. Trying to live like a dog is something that I think brings me closer to what I really am.
Why are they wearing scrubs? There's no way they are a medical professional.
Yeah.
Maybe a vet tech.
They have dog print on them.
Yeah, okay, you're probably right.
But here's the thing. Once you're putting the dog food into your dog bowl with the spoon, aren't you now just a filthy human? Like it's
that's
like
the 50%.
That's the
50% person fills the bowl.
Yeah. Okay,
and then the 50% dog eats it.
And who cleans up the poop? He just eats his own poop after.
Do you think they ever eat their own shit then beat themselves?
He's got like a Fitbit for how long he's been a dog for the day. So like he'll like look at the poop and be like, "Damn it, I used all my human time and just have to eat this shit."
He went to the shredder to get the paper to make the costume.
Yeah, that's the insulting part, is that like the other furries all like spend all this money on these costumes, and they really like hate this. And then because he does like all these talk show appearances, they're like, people think that's what we are. Not that it's much better.
Yeah, how much better could it be?
I don't know. Keep watching this fucking lunatic.
But I don't do it every day, just when I want to feel more canine. I built this myself. I do have a doghouse, and sometimes I sleep in it. I usually play with the squeaky toy. I have some bones and some other toys. I like these doggy scrubs, and I like the longer kind of clothes that feel more like it's fur. I have dog brushes, a dog comb. Every day I always have ears. I like to groom my own fur. I use dog shampoo, which I often mix with regular human shampoo. The dog shampoo has a special scent that smells like a wet dog.
I gotta say, you gotta take this guy around back and shoot him, right?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta, or do the thing where you like take him on a long ride in a van and then throw the toy out the car and then drive away.
That never works because they always come back to the house.
They always come back.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, he might be too stupid to make it back to the house.
We did that with my dog. I think I was like a junior in high school. He bit somebody and we took him like 15 miles away. And I told my dad, I was like, yo, if he comes back, he earned it. 3 days later, he was like, what's up? You thought you was going to shake me? I'm here.
Really? He found his way all the way back. Was he fucked up?
Nah, he was good.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a cat years ago that would get
out of the chair. Get out of here.
You're right.
My chair now.
I had a cat that would get out and like peace out for a few days, but he would always come back with like a harrowing look. Like I fucked up. Like he would run away and then come back. Like one day he came back covered in sap. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this guy was like.
Your cat was on binge. He was binging.
He was fucking around.
Right.
Or he would come back all fucked up, like something got him. And he'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that again. And then somebody would leave the fucking basement window open. Fuck, 15 miles we're talking about.
Came back.
And was your family like, all right, if he found his way back?
I mean, listen, I said it. I was like, if the dog comes back, he definitely deserves to stay. And he came back on the porch and was like, so you thought you was going to leave me? Nah.
So, wait a second. Who did he bite?
Some little dope fiend.
Oh, that doesn't even count.
Unless
the dog was then also addicted to heroin, it's like a reverse werewolf situation.
But, you know, it's like you start off with a dope fiend. You don't want to be the by the regular person, so it was preventative.
I feel like you could market your dog's dope fiend biting skills. You know what I mean? Got dope fiends in front of your house? I'll lend you this dog.
yeah.
Chase him away.
Yeah, it sounds good. I don't know. It was.
To be fair, they are all skin and bones. He just thought it was a rawhide bone and tried to run away with his leg.
Fuck, that's cool. That's... Dude, I want to do this movie now where somebody takes Boomer the dog and drops him off. He has to find his way home like Milo and Otis. He has a cross-country trip with a man that thinks he's a cat.
Now, it'd be better if he's like a CNI dog, like for a blind person.
Yes. He's a service dog.
Yeah.
On an airplane.
Imagine being on a plane
with that guy,
with that fucking guy.
And he's whimpering.
Yeah, he's scared the whole time.
Yeah, during the turbulence. Oh, yeah. God.
He pisses.
No, he's laying at your feet, though.
The amount of... So they go on in that clip and in other clips of him. And he walks around. Believe it or not, doesn't have a day job. Busy being a dog.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a radio show. But I think they got to be on, Social Security or something.
Definitely.
And they walk around all day in the newspaper outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And people, stop and wave... If that thing, and I'm not saying that person is a thing, if that newspaper dog came near my fucking family, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, just set him on fire, man.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Take a lighter.
Just right up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
he could make bread in Times Square, though. Imagine all the pictures people want to take with him.
They would have to know.
Probably too autistic to fucking shake down the people for money, because you got to be aggressive. Mm.
Yeah, he would just take a bunch of free pictures and not have a tip cup.
Yeah, you got to be like a Guatemalan lady with a knife under door.
Can you imagine him getting on the subway? It's showtime!
Jesus. No dogs on the train. He's got to go in somebody's bag. Dude, that fucking... When I used to sell comedy tickets in Times Square, there would be... Do you remember... Chris, do you remember Fwee Hugs? Kid that would go, Fwee Hugs!
No.
He was probably a little special needs, and I'm trying to be very nice.
Yeah.
And you go, Fwee Hugs, and he just had a little sign, and he would only want to hug girls.
Oh, yeah.
And then the hugs would be long and uncomfortable, and we used to every day see Fwee Hugs is out and watch girls get uncomfortable, and then one day One Direction was doing a thing in Times Square, a signing, and we see Fwee Hugs see the line of teenage girls.
Oh, no.
And we go, over under, Fwee Hugs getting arrested today? And then we're watching the cops. We're watching Fwee Hugs go up and down the line. And then we watch a mom come over to the cops crying. We watch the cops go, fuck. And then we see Fwee Hugs.
Come on, kid. We'll get you all the Fwee Hugs you want.
We see Fwee Hugs get put in the back of the car crying. Because he was...
No, they only call him...
He would have a raging hard-on and rub his dick on women. And we watched him do it every day.
Yeah.
And we watched girls go, oh, he's giving Fwee Hugs.
What if whole time he wasn't even special needs, though? He was just like, yeah.
Oh, I mean, then he was retarded like a fox.
So, question. Let me ask y'all. Do you feel good in your heart when you see this kid, the guy who we talking about, they put him in at the basketball game, it's the fourth quarter, and he makes a shot, or they let him score a little touchdown?
I even think that kid knows that he's full of shit. You know what I mean? my brother's developmentally disabled, and if you did that to him, he'd be like, no. Like, he would just, I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. Like, he would feel like an asshole for taking that much attention and knowing he didn't win a game.
And we all got to act like he...
Yeah.
They did it.
I would feel good if Fwee Hugs made the shot with an erection in the basketball shorts.
If he bounced it off his cock.
The Harlem Globetrotters theme's playing.
Yeah, he's spinning. He's laying down, spinning it on the hard-on.
I kind of want to be the evil person to block his shot, though.
Dude, that...
Oh, really? Just stuff it?
Yeah.
Or a football game when they hand the ball and somebody just fucking creams it. Really just fucking plants his helmet in the fucking grass.
Give him a little CTE.
It works like
amnesia. It fixes him?
Yeah, it works like amnesia in cartoons.
Right, and he get up doing complex algorithms.
I've had a stroke of genius. If you use the velocity of the wind
times pi.
All right, I think we got a lot of meat out of that dog shit. The nightmare continues. Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars.
Dude, I'm totally a do-it-yourself guy.
Well, Chris, I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. They've been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices.
Can I get, like, Nos to go really fast, like in those Fast and the Furious movies?
Why does he go fast in those movies?
Yeah.
Did he pull a chariot?
Yeah.
And he smokes crack so he goes faster? All right, so, Chris, here's the deal. When you go to rockauto.com, you don't have to talk to a counter guy who needs to order your part, isn't really sure what you need, never has quite what you're looking for. And after all that, he's still going to have the balls to upcharge you. At rockauto.com, you can get everything you need for your car. So whether you're a mechanic, a do-it-yourself guy working on his own car, or an idiot like me who doesn't understand how automobiles even work.
But you got to buy spark plugs to throw at windows.
Yeah, of course. Everybody has a great need for auto parts, whether or not you have a car. So head on over to rockauto.com, and there's no promo code needed because their pricing is already that good. But, Chris, do me a favor. If you order anything, make sure to tell them you heard about them on the Real Ass Podcast. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much, guys. One more time, you know the site, you know it, you love it, and this isn't annoying when I do it at all. RockAuto.com. Let's get back into the show. Shannon, let me see this guy blow up his hand.
What? No.
Okay, I don't have much of the story behind it, but I don't think that you're going to need it.
So the other day we saw a guy in, what was it, Jamaica? Try to pet a lion through the cage.
I saw it. I said I had to stop watching it.
And it took his middle finger.
Oh, that's
not that bad.
That's it? Okay.
It took his finger, yeah.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
That's pretty tame if you've...
It was worse than I thought it was going to be. But I think we're about to watch a man blow his hand up and continue to drink.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch it twice just to like identify exactly where he is.
Okay.
I think it's the guy.
I think it was the guy that blew up.
Yeah.
Whoa! I don't think he's sober.
He does not care.
I mean, that guy's in shock and he's going to a hospital.
He's also in his underpants.
My buddy got his finger ripped off at his wedding ring, and he fell, and we knew something had happened. But my buddy Phil just goes, you all right? And he goes, nah, hurt. And just picked his hand up. And kid Phil just picked up his finger and put it in his shirt pocket, and they went to the hospital. They called an Uber and went to the hospital.
He can only give him 4 stars. Do you ever hear a story from like an older generation? You're like, wow, shit was so different. Because nobody's mean in the story,
like,
but it's
civil
just,
rights.
Or just like, you just hear shit and you're like, wow, we have changed so much as a society. My dad told me when he was in his early 20s, he was working for my grandpa and they're welders. And my dad missed with the torch. And welded, he burnt a hole through his hand. Like, there was a hole, you could see through it. And my grandfather said, we're not done working.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to go to the hospital. And my grandfather said, put it in your pocket. We'll go to the hospital when the job's done.
Yeah, that's a whole different generation.
What? Oh, the hand?
Yeah, he had my dad put his hand in his pocket with a rag wrapped around it until they could go to the hospital when the job was done. Because they were charging hourly.
Jesus.
And I just think, like, that's not that long. That's 2 generations. We have changed dramatically as a society.
Yeah, we got WebMD and all of that stuff, man. Yeah. Nobody doing that these days.
True.
That just scares the shit out of, like, God, we got lucky being born when we did. I would not have made it, man. I am soft.
Yeah.
I am a delicate flower of a human being.
Yeah, the 20s wouldn't have been a good time for me either. So,
you know what? I believe you. Who didn't an NFL player blow their hand up?
Yeah, yes. John Pierre Paul. Yeah,
and did he wind up doing like PSAs? Like,
nah.
No, he just was a living example a of why bit, not to play with and, fireworks. And
got back to playing DN. Yeah, I think he lost like 3 fingers too.
I think about all the dumb shit I've done with fireworks over the years, and I'm like, thank God I never got hurt. I once threw a homeless guy had abandoned his shopping cart, and I just threw
I thought you said you threw a homeless guy.
Oh, you did what?
He had just like, no, there was just like a homeless guy's shopping cart that had been sitting in the street for like a day and a half full of bottles, and I just threw an M80 in there. That should have killed me probably, right? But it just kind of broke all the bottles.
Yeah. Or at least, like, should have got arrested for it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was
Yeah.
It was back when you weren't getting arrested for stupid shit like that.
Yeah, I used
Whoa! Is that the guy or is that the NFL player?
No, that's the NFL player.
Yeah, Pierre Paul.
Dang. Wow. That's a big boy, judging from those mitts.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Holy shit. That's scarier than a hand, though. I wouldn't want that coming at me in the fucking field.
Yeah.
No. What the fuck?
The pitches are getting better, though.
Yeah. He's
okay.
Yeah.
Didn't he do something where he could potentially play again or something? They cut off his fingers so he could potentially play again?
I think
again?
He still plays, or he played after that
That's
for a couple years.
Like, they could have done, like, reconstructive surgery. Like, the reason why it looks like this is because they gave him the option. Like, if we could give you, like, some sort of new hand, but you're never playing football again.
Oh, I don't remember hearing that.
I see what you mean. But then he said, if you do it this, because it's not.
You're going to have a grotesque hand, but you could still fucking do your job.
Because what? You said he was defense?
Yeah.
He wasn't really fucking around with him. Yeah. All right. So that makes sense then.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they can make you something, but then, like, it won't hold up to fucking that kind of pressure.
Okay. Wow. You got to feel silly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to feel like an asshole when you fucking risk a. I mean, Plaxico Burress shot himself in the fucking leg.
NFL players and fun summer activities don't seem to be a good mix.
Yeah.
Boating.
Motorcycles.
Motorcycles, fireworks. Maybe just take the summer.
Yelling at your wife in an elevator. Yeah, whatever.
If you're in the NFL, hey, take the summer. Yeah.
But I think that's what gives you the edge, though.
Yeah.
Is living on the wild side.
Well, they say that, like, isn't that like a thing where it's like those guys who are like high level athletes all kind of have this thing in them where they're like more apt for risk in general.
Exactly.
So it's like that's why they like become adrenaline junkies.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And if you don't have that, you don't get the productivity on the field.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Who was fuck, we were reading something about, was it the Bears or the Raiders just doing blow all night before the Super Bowl? Fuck, I can't remember what I was reading about, but it was really fucking, it was a cocaine dealer who had like half of the fucking football team that was in the Super Bowl the next day and his house doing heroic amounts of blow up until game time.
Man, I remember this was, I think, when the Falcons played maybe the Broncos or something like that. It was a safety. Eugene Robinson got caught with a prostitute the night before the game. The story blew up and he got burnt for a touchdown. Like, that got to be humiliating. You got caught trying to buy some cooch night before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Don't they? Now, you see, I feel like I would
there,
be.
Isn't there like a thing where, like, whenever the Super Bowl comes to a city, like, all the best hookers in the country go to that city?
Yeah, we turn it up. Yeah, it's like All-Star Weekend.
It's like that, yeah. But also, like, that also happens for, like, the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
There's, like, a weird amount of.
Yeah.
But there's always ads. There's always, like, PSAs in the cities that the Super Bowl happens about human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, see, yes. I feel like you shouldn't get a hooker the night before the Super Bowl. Because isn't it like Rocky where you want like your legs?
Nah, that's not true, man. Sports science kind of like debunked that myth to where they had like it was a boxer and they tested his testosterone levels before he had sex with his wife and they were higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Tyson always said that was bullshit back in the day. He was like, that's not real.
Well, he wasn't. He was stealing it. He wasn't paying for it.
That's true.
He was a predator. He liked the thrill of the hunt.
Yeah, that was the adrenaline junkie thing again.
But that's like All-Star Weekend. You know, let's say like All-Star Weekend is in New Orleans, and chicks just falling for a dude who's like 6'8". He work at the Marriott, and you just think he's in the NBA, and it's like, nah, you just fell for a regular dude.
You're just stupid.
Yeah.
You just saw a tall person.
Well, my favorite thing, did you ever see the video of like, the internet fucking dragged these ladies. They couldn't get a rental car to go to All-Star Weekend in Atlanta, so they showed up in a U-Haul.
Oh, and people were just shitting on...
I can't remember any... It was fucking hilarious. And it was like a couple of them, and they were just like living out of this U-Haul trying to get fucking impregnated by somebody with money.
I saw one where a chick went to All-Star Weekend, and she created a GoFundMe to get back.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it's like, yo, if you don't have enough bread to go to All-Star Weekend, just go home. Be an All-Star at the crib, but...
What happens if you get stuck? I mean, is she just a homeless lady down there now?
and somebody like you throwing M80s at her. That's it.
Shannon, is there any documentation of like the hooker situation at the Super Bowl or the National Convention or anything? Because that's pretty wild that they're on tour. That they're mobile.
What do you mean?
The hookers? Do you think they get sent out, or you think it's like they're going on their own?
I mean, I feel like they get crated.
Okay.
You know?
Because I went to the Cannes Film Festival, and there were high-end hookers.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like the yachting shit that supposedly like real famous ladies do. But you would see, like, and I don't know the correct term for this, so I apologize. You would see, like, I would call them, like, sheiks. Mm-hmm. Like the full on like in the outfits, and they would have like,
11s. No, those were furries.
Yeah, they would have like 11s walking around with them.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, that guy's got fucking money.
Yeah,
Shannon, did you get anything?
I just I found the one that Chris was talking about before, the woman stuck in Atlanta.
I kind of want to see that.
Okay, this is here's like a screenshot of her GoFundMe.
Need help getting back home.
$1,600.
How much does it cost to get back? Where was she?
It says apparently that her unemployment check didn't clear in time. She went to Atlanta with $400 and then was stranded when that check didn't clear.
Hmm.
But she a couple of days later, she just took down the GoFundMe, so I guess her check cleared.
But no, she just used $1,600.
She's trying to fly home first class.
Yeah. She still ended up flying coach and then just came. Now she has a fund for next year's All-Star game.
Oh, she's coming home to New York.
Oh.
Atlanta, New York, that's
like a $300 ticket. That's a hub. You could get on standby for like $80 in Atlanta. Somebody's not showing up to their flight.
Yeah, there's a bus or a train you can do.
Not during All-Star weekend. You know them prices and hotels are inflated.
Yeah, but if you just go for standby, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, somebody's going to get drunk and miss your flight.
Nah, all the other jump offs is on standby, too. They really? Got the same idea.
So you're
idea.
Like 50th online?
Yeah.
One-way ticket to All-Star Weekend because you really think your pussy's
man.
That good.
That's pussy confidence.
Yeah, that's that like insane. A comedian moving to New York with like $100 and just we're going to figure minutes. It out. Yeah.
My favorite story of a girl realizing her value is Chris's is when you did the Uber pool.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Yeah, I was...
I think you should do this on stage. This really makes me laugh.
I was taking an Uber back, Uber pool, and I saw this lady. It was by fucking the Wyckoff houses, and she's coming out like she just got fucking railed out, and she's feeling good. This dude got her an Uber. She opens the door, sees me, realizes it's an Uber pool, and I just watched the fucking, oh, I'm not shit, wash into her, and I was like, oh...
You got to watch a girl realize she had Uber pool pussy.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah.
She had shit.
Now, I always have wondered, was it a train? And that's why she was feeling so good. That's why she needed the cab.
Oh, you too? This night never ends.
I miss Uber pool. I'm going to be honest with you.
For some reason, I had a history of getting an Uber pools. With crazy people.
Yeah, that's who takes Uber pools.
Mostly. Yeah, myself. I'm sure everyone that was with me also has weird stories.
Yeah.
But I had a lady scream and cry and try to get out of the Uber because we weren't going to her stop first.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing about it. Yeah, Uber pool would be around the corner from your house. Go to LaGuardia, pick somebody up, and then come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time, because with Uber Pool too, like it wouldn't always go to your door. You had to walk.
Oh, yeah. You could pay less to meet them a couple blocks away.
And I remember this one chick arguing with the driver, like, "You gonna make me walk? I'm 9 months pregnant." And she was not at all pregnant looking. And she's like, "No, you drop me off at that door."
She started a GoFundMe from that corner for another Uber to bring her.
The worst was the lady that cried the entire BQE because she didn't understand how Uber Pool worked, and she tried to call Uber from the car to ask for her stop to be first.
Yeah.
And then Sebastian.
What is that?
I was coming back from my friend's house, and the guy in the Uber Pool with me was so drunk, he kept falling asleep and re-asking me who I was.
That's hilarious.
And at one point, he convinced himself I was a record executive because he kept asking me, "What kind of music do you promote?" And I was like, "No, man, and I always say, like, you know, I'm in editing or whatever. I never say I'm a comic." And I'm like, "No, man, I'm in editing. I don't know. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what you're talking about." And then he would fall asleep and be like, "So what bands are signed to your label?" And then he woke up again and put his hand on my thigh.
Oh, wow.
And whispered, "Do you want to do some blow with me?" And I was like, "That's going to be a bad Uber rating if I do that." And I'm like, "No, man, I don't think so." And then he's touched, like, inner thigh.
He was trying to get signed, man.
He thought you were a real punk rock Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. And, hey, one day, baby, that's the dream. Guy put up numbers. He touched my dick. And he goes, "Are you sure there's nothing else I can do for you?" And then we dropped him off to his wife picking him up. His wife on the doorstep, like, getting him drunkenly home.
Wow.
And I was like, "Man, if I was single, I could have done a line of coke and gotten blown by that dude." I mean, listen, that's a great friend. That's a great friend. He also took the Uber driver's phone and put his number in it because he invited him to dinner the next night.
Oh, wow. You think the Uber driver went?
No, I don't think he did. I think he saw me get molested in the back. I get molested a lot for a 350 to 400 pound person.
That's true.
Given the week.
Hey.
I oddly get groped and molested. Hey. All right, let's see this woman who lives on potato chip sandwiches. Speaking of my weight.
Okay, so I don't have a picture of her, though.
What the fuck?
I bet she's not
that's what we're immediately going to ask for?
I bet she's a beacon of beauty and grace.
I'll try to find it outside this article, but let me tell you about it real quick. So her name is Zoe Sadler. She's 25 years old. She's British. And ever since she was 2 years old, she lived on cheese and onion crisp sandwiches.
You think her name is Sadler because she's sad, or you have to saddle? You put a saddle on her?
It's going to saddle. She's a big fat Zoe Sadler. So she lived on cheese and onion chips in bread.
Yes. Here, wait, I think I found a picture.
Oh, you have a picture of the sandwich.
Here, this is her.
Oh, not bad.
That is not bad at all.
I thought I was going to want to fuck the sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Potato chip sandwich, you going to fuck that?
What? No, that, yeah.
You really are a masochist.
Yeah. No, it's not like they're salt and vinegar.
That's true.
That's probably the worst chip to fuck.
If you're going to fuck a chip,
if you're going to fuck a bag of chips.
I know one of these buffalo chips or something like that might be
rough
too.
The Bajitos, the one chip challenge.
Yeah, because even if you don't cut your dick a little, it's going to burn.
So, Shannon, tell us about this chip lady.
Okay, so her whole life, her parents tried to, even as a toddler, introduce her to other foods, but she hated everything. The only thing that she liked was the potato chip sandwiches. The only reason why she finally decided to do something about it is because she was about to get married, and she didn't want to be forced to eat a potato chip sandwich at her wedding. So she met with a hypnotherapist, and after two sessions, all of a sudden...
He's got her eating hot dogs, licking an ice cream cone.
She said she can't believe how nice strawberries are, and even tried a Wagamama chili squid, which was really spicy.
Okay.
She went from only eating potato chips to she's eating squid.
Yeah, I don't know what that Wagamama is. Some English thing, I guess. But, yeah, it cured her.
I don't think she had a problem to begin with. I think she just wanted a lot of attention. Because I don't think this needed to be an article.
I don't think it did either.
It sounds like she was a crazy person who this was a quirky thing about her.
And then she, I think anybody who still has.
And then she stopped getting attention for it. So she quit it. So it was a whole new reason for her to not have a personality.
I think, I think anybody who still is into any of their weird as a kid wouldn't eat. Like, if I meet somebody who's like, I won't eat olives.
Olives, really? That one makes me mad when people think olives are gross. Like,
or like onions. Like, you're still, I won't, if I find out onion is in a thing, even if I didn't know before, I won't eat it afterwards. Like, well, you're a fucking asshole. You're not a fuck. That doesn't, yeah. Or people who think eating steak well done is a personality trait. Go fuck yourself. I hate all of these people.
There's a
although if you're her husband and now you got to all of a sudden pay for dinners when she was just eating fucking chip sandwiches, you might be a little salty at this.
Yeah, a little salty.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
And vinegary.
this is actually, I'm sorry, a disorder. It's called avoidant restrictive food intake disorder.
Ah, silly bitch disease.
I just like weird. I think weird. So
yeah. Dingbat.
Yeah, she's a diagnosed dingbat.
She's a dingbat.
There's a show that I like on YouTube. A lot of people watch it. Good Mythical Morning, and it's two guys. They taste a lot of shit. And the one guy is like an adult man in his 40s who takes the tomatoes off of everything before they'll eat it. And I just think, like,
what, doesn't he just ask them to not put tomatoes
I don't
on?
Know, but he makes like a thing of it. Like, he won't eat tomatoes. If you're a grown man who can't eat tomatoes, how do you discipline your children?
You make them eat tomatoes.
Like, but how? Like, if your kid won't eat something, how do you have
do as
any
I say,
moral,
not as I do?
Right. How do you have any moral high ground?
He catches his kid with a bag of tomatoes. He's like, "I'm going to make you eat every last one of these."
Like, how do you tell your kid, "No, you have to finish dinner"? And you're like, "Yeah, all right, fucking finish your tomato, queer."
I think Guy Fieri had a thing like that where he wouldn't eat like runny eggs, which became a problem on his
runny
show.
Runny eggs,
where he
I
eats
feel like
everything.
That's like a preparation. That's a preference. Not like if he wouldn't eat eggs is different.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean like a runny egg? Like any over
like undercooked.
Undercooked egg?
Yeah.
Like a soft boiled egg or just.
No, he like, just had like a he, yeah, anything with like a runny yellow yolk, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He would like be hesitant to eat it, which is weird because he went around eating people's
at diners.
Foods. Yeah.
Which is, that's the thing they make. That's like the one thing I'll always get at a diner is because I hate trying to flip. Like, you can do it, but like, you know, like, I want my egg flipped for like a second.
Yeah.
And like, I always get that in a diner because, you know, one in four times at your house, the yolk will break and you're just like, fuck this. And then if they break it at the diner, I'm like, make it again. $2.
All right. So, Lady Crispam, that's my cousin who's my age. I remember only ate chicken fingers well into adulthood.
My cousin wouldn't, her food couldn't be touching. And I was like, anytime we'd be eating soup, but I go, all that's touching, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He would only eat chicken fingers. And my family used to put out a newsletter at Christmas of what all the, everybody was up to.
I fucking hate your family.
And my that's, Uncle Rob made
I
it.
I fucking hate that.
And
your
so
family
my
had a
my
marketing campaign?
My cousin that only ate chicken fingers, let's say, not the most career prospects. And so they spun it in the family newsletter as Ryan is enjoying continued success in the accelerated cuisine industry.
So fast food.
He worked at McDonald's.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was how they spun it, the accelerated cuisine industry.
Yeah, you got to make it sound good. You know, the people who, I hate the people who, like, go out of town and go to a city like New Orleans, mm-hmm. right, that is known for seafood, but you eat stuff that you could have had in your hometown, right? Like chicken tenders, mm-hmm. a burger, or a nice restaurant. It's like, no, you don't come here.
Oh, you see that everywhere. Yeah. I was just in New Orleans, and you would just see that, like, literally everywhere. I was like, you can't throw a rock without hitting, like, a famous restaurant. Like, it just, like, at least go get a sandwich. Like, it's like, yeah, I was in a couple of nice restaurants, and there was just, like, somebody eating a burger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just get a piece of fish. We're on the fucking Gulf.
I know exactly what you mean. I was in Prague, and
okay,
another
little
family,
flex, Prague.
And another family that spoke saw that I spoke English. And they came over and they're like, "Hi, can you show us where the Hard Rock Cafe is?"
Come on, man.
And I'm like, "What?" They're like, "Yeah, it's the only place we eat when we're on vacation."
What?
They told me, they said that they can't eat at local restaurants. They need to go to the Hard Rock Cafe because that's where they're all comfortable eating. Because I told them where a good restaurant, like we had just left somewhere. That was, but it was like, you know, Prague food.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, no, we need to go get Hard Rock Cafe.
What the fuck is wrong with people, man? That's like half the point of traveling.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah. I've always like, that's like, I spent half the time looking for things to do and then half the time, like, you know, when you're like building up to a trip, you pick like, there's like, all right, here's 15 restaurants I'd like to go to. I want to go to at least four of these. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of always my fucking plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to go to, there's a traveling lobster truck.
Here?
That does Brooklyn.
Yo. Maine's? I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Maine.
Cousin Maine's lobster.
Amazing.
Is it?
Amazing.
I fucking was going to go last night because it was, or excuse me, Saturday because it was close to my house.
That's a Shark Tank company.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Fuck. Because then the reviews turned me, the reviews were like, these are bad portions, it's canned.
I don't think
it's not fresh.
I sincerely doubt it's canned. I'm sure it's frozen lobster meat because that's what most people use for lobster rolls. Like, even if you contact a fish wholesaler, because I was working on a lobster tail recipe when I was still cooking, and even if you contact like a good high end fish wholesaler, they'll be like, dude, don't do that for a lot. If you're not doing like a fresh, like if you're doing just a lobster tail with butter over it, mm-hmm. but most of them are like, if you're doing a mayo lobster roll, like a classic lobster roll, there's no like use frozen. But, like, I doubt it's canned lobster meat. And I'm sure the portions are small because lobster's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
A lobster roll is always $23.
Yeah.
Because you're getting, even if you're only getting an eighth of a pound of lobster meat in it, that's fucking expensive.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They used to have one in Times Square, too.
But yeah.
It was like a standalone store.
Okay. Yeah. They have a couple of stores now. Yeah. I think there's one in, like, Prospect Heights or something now, too.
All right. I'm going to make a note. I'm going to go to that. I bet it's good. All right, Shannon. I want to see a man body slam a kangaroo.
Is it the same guy who had punched a kangaroo? Remember
to save his dog?
Yeah, now he's just bodies. He came back for seconds.
Kangaroos look like they fucking...
Oh, wow.
Holy shit.
It looked like the kangaroo asked for it.
Oh, damn. He's really fucking thumping with this kangaroo.
Yeah, he's going. No, the dog... See, it's another dog.
Yeah, because kangaroos, I think they go for dogs, right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And he's winning.
Yeah.
Say uncle.
Yeah.
Say it. Say uncle.
Was that it?
That's it.
He
yeah.
He didn't really body slam him. He kind of fell on him.
He kind of fell
on him. It says that he walked away, but they don't know how bad his injuries are. And in the article, they're actually looking for that man. They don't know who the man was in the fight.
Shannon, if you could pull up old videos of kangaroo boxing. Now, I might be completely out of line here. I might be making all this up. Or it's all rumor and innuendo. Is it true that the tail is why you can't knock them down?
Yeah, I think they can bounce. I mean, if Bugs Bunny cartoons have taught me anything.
Yeah, I think that's where I got this. Yeah. Because, so they have little ass heads, and they're strong as shit. Like, the legs are super strong.
Yeah.
And I think when they used, because back in circuses, they would do kangaroo boxing and let people bet. And, you know, you would pay or whatever a certain amount of money, and you would get a prize if you beat the kangaroo. And people would just be wailing on these little ass heads, and they'd be knocked out on their feet because the tail keeps them up. So you could just beat the shit out of a kangaroo, and then eventually it'll get mad, go back on the tail, and kick you.
It's like punching a stripper with a fake ass. Yeah. Just bounce right back up.
And I think they have to take the... I think they have claws or something.
Yeah, they do.
Because I think they can disembowel you with a good kick.
Yeah.
Shannon, you got anything?
Yeah, I found a video. I guess it's a celebrity circus boxing thing of Woody Allen about to box a kangaroo.
Yeah.
It has to be from a movie.
No, this is like a TV show. This is like old-timey TV. But he runs away.
You're
he doesn't
watch me fight the Australian light heavyweight champion.
By the way,
he was like, I don't want to go out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he doesn't throw any. By the way, this used to just be what was on TV. How great is that?
Yeah, the bar for TV used to be super low.
I think this is better than most things on TV.
This is better than every episode of Impractical Jokers, and I love that show. If they fought a kangaroo, it would be my favorite episode.
Hey, but the kangaroo do got a little bob and weave to him, though.
Yeah, they've got... Yeah, dude, I would not want to fight that.
No. It's a wild animal. I mean,
like, and it's not even the arms that I can think really do anything.
Oh, yeah. If he kick you, it's over.
If he kicks you, I think you're fucked.
Yeah. It's like getting kicked by a donkey.
Now is when you get him, when he's low. Or maybe he's getting...
Yeah, that's it. Hit the referee that got you in this situation.
Is there any more? Hey, Chris, have you ever watched like when Tracy Smothers would wrestle a bear?
Yeah, I've seen that stuff, yeah.
You can't do that anymore, right?
Oh, nah.
I think it's just a trick. Like, you can classify it as a trick. I mean, PETA will be up your ass.
I would go see somebody wrestle a bear.
Yeah. I tried to find a place to wrestle an alligator the first time I went to Florida, and I called this place that used to do it, and they were like, yeah, they kind of started protesting. We don't let people do that anymore.
For the right amount of money, I'm sure you could fuck one.
Yeah, I didn't really want to fuck one, though.
No, but I'm just saying, if there's a price to fuck it, there's a price to wrestle it.
That's true. But if I can't take that sweet IG photo, what the hell's the point?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. What would be the ideal? What do you think would be a good match if you had to fight an animal?
Cat.
Dude. Cat? No, I just got fucked up.
But yeah, not for you. Me. You're not as spry as I am.
No, they double teamed me.
My cardio's a little bit better.
I was spinning in a circle. They wouldn't get off of me.
Wait, both of your cats ganged up on you?
Okay.
So hold on. Wait a second. Didn't they used to not be friends?
Yeah, they're still not, but apparently...
Nothing brings people together like violence, though.
The plot,
they were just trying to recreate the last scene in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it was... It was... So I have a little one named Gus and a big one named Seymour, and they don't like each other. They're both orange, and they're both wild. And Gus was in my room the other morning, and I accidentally stepped on his foot a little.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made a noise that I never heard. Like, he went, man. And then he stood in my room, and he made a noise I never heard before. But I think it was like a hootie hoo. Because I walk out into the hallway, and my cat, who has never scratched me, never bit me, nothing, in 5 years, looks at me and goes, and jumps at me, climbed me, so I have all scratches up my legs, tears my shirt, and went for my face, and I blocked it with this hand. That's what this cut is.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, and I threw him. And I turned around, and the little one jumped on me. So now he's hanging on me, and then Seymour jumped back on me, and I'm spinning in a circle with two orange cats hanging on me, and they're both going, nah, 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 and I'm going, and I just panicked, and I went, what the hell's going on? And I screamed, and I ran in my room, and I slammed the door shut, and then they both stood outside the door, mean mugging me, hissing, for like 10 minutes, and I would open the door.
You were naked at the time.
No, I had... This my usual shit. I was trying to get out the door, and then they stood outside, and then eventually, like, they just sniffed each other's butts and walked away. So, but it was a full on like planned assault.
Then they had a protest at your door.
They like, were furious.
We know our rights.
I made Harrington go into the bathroom with me because my legs were covered in blood. When I got here, I bled through my pants, and I was just my knees, and I was covered in blood. It was a full-on, like, attack. And now I feel like they know.
Oh, they know that you're a puss?
They know that I'm the bitch now.
Yeah, they run the house.
Yeah, like, they're just, like, kind of very flippant. Or, like, they're not taking me seriously anymore. They're taking my seat.
Yeah, why would they?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm the fourth member of my household. Yeah,
you the pussy now.
Yeah, 100. Yeah. It's...
Damn, they fucking Captain Phillips you. They're like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's their house now. All right, let's get one more story out of here before we get out of here. Chris, what do you want to do?
What's this North Carolina preschool teacher with the LGBTQ flashcards?
Okay, so the teacher hasn't been revealed, but it came to the superintendent's attention that she was using these cards. These are LGBT cards, but the purpose of them is to teach colors. So on this first one is a picture of a pregnant man. And they're just trying to teach the color white.
Okay. So it's like...
That's not just a fat guy?
No.
I don't understand how these are...
Yeah, that's not going to fly in the South.
Yeah, that's true.
So really, it's just a color, but then they're...
But
not
I don't
subliminally, but yeah. They are just presenting different types of families and different types of people so that kids are used to it from a young
age.
Yeah,
this seems kind of fine.
Yeah, I feel like it is subliminal.
But obviously, we're here.
You think it's subliminal?
I feel like it kind of is. Where it's kind of like, don't really focus on that other thing. We're going to focus on the color, but also you're going to get this kind of like ingrained into your mind.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with just knowing different types of people exist.
Yeah.
It's a little sneaky, but it's a good thing overall, right?
Dude, I think you absolutely have to tell little, like the whole thing where you don't say that people are, like, you don't even talk about
it. Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like, my mom was a literal crackhead, and she was just like, just so you know, there are gay people, and you shouldn't be mean to them. It's not their fault. They don't want to have to do that. They're just born that way. Like, it's like, but you have to do that, because the first time a fucking five-year-old sees a man kiss another man, they're going to say something real uncomfortable anywhere.
But I also think you got to put it in context. We're in New York. That's
North Carolina. That's, yeah, where it's two different
mindsets.
Yeah,
that's like the heart of the Bible Belt, too.
Where did they say that was?
North Carolina.
Yeah.
But it didn't even look... I mean, look, I've seen some of the materials in some of these stories can be like a little egregious, but that seemed... That was just... I mean, that pregnant man might not have been a pregnant man. I guess it kind of looked like that pregnant man emoji, but it could have just been somebody who ate potato chip sandwiches for a living.
Yeah. I read something. If I said it on the show before, I'm really sorry, but I had read a story or somebody told me a thing about some preschool where they had a little Muslim boy, and he said he had two moms, and they made like a big thing of it, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that.
Where they were going to, you know, talk about, you know, what it's like to have lesbian parents and how some, you know, houses have two moms, houses have two dads. And then they made like a thing, you know, they congratulated the family and, you know, we want to talk about it in class. And it was polygamy.
Oh,
the dad had two wives. So the kid came in and said, I have two moms.
So then now that guy's in jail.
Yeah. Like, well, I guess he had, I don't know what
polygamy, as far as I know, is still federally illegal.
I mean, they had some type of arrangement where he had a second wife.
Okay.
I don't know if it was on paper, but that's what they referred to. The kid said he had two moms and a dad.
Good for that dad.
Yeah, getting it.
Unless they're both gross.
But yeah, so like my chick's a preschool teacher, and she has kids that have different households like that. Mm-hmm. And basically, they buy books that kind of cater to whatever. Like, she's got like a I Have Two Dads book, I Have a Two Moms book. Mm-hmm. So, because kids, they're not being mean, they just have questions. Mm-hmm. And I think the strategy is to put it all out. And it's not saying, hey, be this, but it's just, this exists.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, they'll just blurt stuff out. Like I said, like my brother, I remember like my nephew's birthday party when the kid's like, why are you walking like that? Don't walk like that. And it's just like, you know, it's just kind of, kids are just like kind of doing that. So you kind of got to give them some sort of brace for like, hey, just so you know, this happens.
When I was little, the lady that owned the building next door was a lesbian with short hair, real dumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up to look like her. And when I was really little, I went into her office and I kept asking if she was a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, I'm a girl. I went, oh, okay. Because my dad said you're like Pat from Saturday Night Live and they're not really sure.
Yeah.
And I needed an answer.
But that was interesting, man. Like growing up, it was like now we knew that people were gay.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the 80s and 90s, you was just like, yo, my man is a little different, or the gym teacher's a little different. But like we never processed gay back then.
Oh, there's a kid in my like third grade class named Aaron that like my mom was like, that's a gay kid in your class. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was just like, and it was just like all of the moms were like, yeah, that kid's going to be, he hung out with only the girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's like, that kid's gay. And I was like, what's that? And my mom had to explain it. And I was like okay.
On Chris Rock's, I can't remember what comedy special was, Big or Black or Bring the Pain, where he was talking about, we all knew somebody gay growing up. We just didn't know they was gay and they didn't have anybody to be gay with. And then it made me think about three people like, yo.
Yeah, different classes or whatever.
Yeah, my grandparents had two friends, and they just called them roommates. And there's Billy and Johnny lived together, and I just always remember, oh, they're roommates.
Yeah,
lifelong roommates.
My uncle's got a friend that he like travels, like his friend just travels with a friend because his wife won't fly. But then they go on vacations together.
No, he tried to fuck her in the ass. She said that's not gonna fly.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then he bought her a strap on, and she's like, "I don't know if this fits me."
I feel like I remember my parents had like gay friends, but it was addressed differently. Mm-hmm. It was always like My family calls lesbians granny shoes because my grandma wears Birkenstocks with socks. So my family won't say lesbian. They'll go, is she a little granny shoes?
Yeah, that, my grandmother had the hand.
Yeah, one of these things.
Did you have any? Well, your dad. I mean, your dad's a completely different generation.
Very old Italian. Very, very.
I'd imagine he had some opinions.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it. Right. Pretty hateful.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It was actually his one hang up. And for an Italian man born in 1930 in Flatbush.
Yeah, hey.
It was his one hang up.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it on that. I want to thank our guest, Mark Gregory. Please, guys, he's got a special out. Run with it on Amazon. Check it out. Give it a great review. Let him know the Real Ass Podcast sent you. Really appreciate your time today, brother. Sorry. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you. For Chris from Brooklyn, who you know from the podcast, I'm going to read right off the sheet. High Society Radio and Notes of Goon.
Notes of Goon.
That's how I would describe you if you were wine. You have notes of goon. And I'm Zach Abico on behalf of my co-host, Louis J. Gomez. We will see you this Wednesday on the Real Ass Podcast.
That's all, folks.